Well, welcome to the situation report for March 18th. It's been an interesting week. That's Blue on Black by Five Finger Death Punch. That's an interesting catalog. If you're not a Five Finger Death Punch fan, then it's a bit to get used to. Glasses are all over the place today. Interesting day today. So the JFK files came out today, and remember when I said that Trump's created an existential crisis for himself? That's very, very true, because he's done two things, actually. One, because Pam Bondi screwed up the disclosure around Epstein, and because of that was done in a botched way, no matter what they put out today, the American public they're just not going to buy it. They're just not going to buy into the storyline that these are all the files, right? And it's unfortunate, because this is a moment that the country's waited for a very, very long time. And look, those documents have been around for what, 60, 70 years? And in all that time, you don't think that some of that information has been scrubbed out? Absolutely it has. And it's been, let's just say it's been whitewashed for so long, and probably so many times, there's probably no data in there that's really going to lead anywhere anyway. And some of it's probably going to remain classified, which I'm sure there's, you know, some nugget in there that is somebody still alive, leads to somebody they don't want it to lead to. Regardless, they've created a crisis for themselves. And because of that, they're in a situation where whatever they put out now is unbelievable. And it's unfortunate, but that's where we are. And at the same time, I think the outrage that is also moving his base away from him is over the strikes that are going on in Yemen. Literally to the person, everyone said, why are we bombing Yemen? Why are we going after the Houthis? There's no strategic value there. Yeah, you can make the case about strategic lines of communication, shipping, et cetera. But when you step back from that, the timing of all of it is completely wrong. And at the same time, supposedly we took out an Iranian spy ship. I have yet to confirm that. Bad optics. And right now, Trump doesn't need bad optics. What he needs is good optics. And the JFK files are not going to help with good optics, because there's no there. The there was the Epstein files. That was the thing that people wanted to see. Look, Americans want to see people perp walk. They don't want to see any more of this nonsense that, you know, here's your three-ring binder. Every one of the Epstein files were digitized years ago. And they release a three-ring binder, and everybody goes, yeah, no, sorry. But really what people want to see is people perp walked. And big names, not little names. And at the same time, the JFK files came out today. they're declassifying the Benghazi files. Here's what my hope is for the Benghazi files. I worked for General Carter Ham in the desert. He is a damn good man. And I mean, he's one of the best officers I've ever served with. For a variety of reasons, he's good. But they hamstrung him, and then when he spoke out, they literally drummed him out of the military. So when all this is over, I hope that Hillary Clinton is actually behind bars, along with Bill Clinton. But I don't hold out any hope for that, because of what we've seen already with the Epstein files, with the JFK files. It's all going to turn into a big nothing burger. And the American people we're rapidly approaching the culmination point where the cost of picking up arms and going against the government to take this government down, along with the New York bankers, the elites, et cetera, pick your flavor of who the disgruntled people are that you want to take out. American people are getting closer and closer to that. Because while all this is going on, you have an entire class of people that are just above the waterline of poverty. And I don't know if people are paying attention, but there's a lot more foreclosures going on right now than you probably realize. We're in the midst of a housing bubble. And Ed Dowd came out last week, and I think he was on Steve Bannon, where he talked about the housing bubble is worse than 2008. In 2008, we saw one of the biggest transfers of wealth in American history. And we're on the verge of something worse than that. What do you think the American people are going to do when they see 1% of the American elite pick up most of the assets in the country, the cash in the country, et cetera? That's not going to go well for them. And this week, Department of HUD, Department of Interior banded together so that they can use federal lands for housing. Okay, so I have an idea for you. Number one, why don't you really put some, you know, put some heavy feet on the gas and deport as many of the illegals that we brought in as possible? I know for a fact that there's at least 200,000 homes in Texas that are occupied by illegals that were put into those homes by the federal government. That's 200,000 homes that we could put Americans in right now that are probably on the street or close to being on the street. That's step one. Step two is we don't need federal lands. What we need is BlackRock, Vanguard, and all the other liquidity and asset houses to liquidate all the private and single-family homes that they've acquired over the last 10 years. And guess what? There would be enough inventory at a price that Americans could afford. And you would see not only the loan market increase, but you would see people getting into 30-year mortgages that were affordable. That's all you have to do to fix the housing crisis. Because the investment houses have invested so much in single-family homes since 2008, they've artificially driven up the market. And that brings me back to 2008. In 2008, no one was held accountable for that banking crash. No one. Not one banker, not one real estate person, not one financier, not one equity house. Not one. What do you think is going to happen this time when the American people actually watch this happen again? They lose their homes. They lose their livelihood. I can guarantee you they will pick up arms this time, and it will not be pretty. And when it does happen this time, I can guarantee you that it's not going to end well for the elite. So buckle up, folks. It's about to get very, very bumpy. And, you know, I said before, I was 2 to 3 years ahead of where we are, I said that we're going to reach a culmination point, and that culmination point is going to lead the American public down a different path. I think we're on the cusp of that. And I think it's going to start in Europe first, and then it's going to start here, and it's going to be financial. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't see some kinetic initially. I've been watching Sarah Adams and that whole crew talking. Now the new narrative is that terrorist cells are eyeballing hospitals. They're going to use a vehicle IED on a hospital and then follow it up by kinetic. Okay. So the CIA is planning an attack on a hospital here in the US or in Europe, and they're going to follow it up by kinetic. Okay, got it. Check, Roger. We know what the false flag is. Either way, folks, look, the bottom line with all of this is, sorry, my class is driving me crazy. The bottom line with all of this is that we are headed towards some kind of an event. I don't know what that event is. And what's interesting now is I'm starting to, wait, I need my conspiracy glasses for this, because there we go. Today on Twitter, today was a very interesting day on Twitter. So Greg Reese, I don't know if you know who Greg Reese is. Let me copy this this link, and I'll post it in the chat. What's interesting about Greg Reese is he came out today and posted a long post, but it was a video about the Great Pyramids and how the Great Pyramids, they've done ground penetrating radar, but it's a special variety with a special software. It's in the link is in the comments and in the chat. There, it's in the chat. But what he's talking about is the fact that they found structures under one of the pyramids that goes almost 2 meters underground. And it's 8 columns in rows of in 2 rows of 4 underneath the pyramids, with 5 structures in the center of it at the very base of the pyramid that goes down two kilometers. That's a pretty significant depth. That wasn't done by dudes with picks and hammers. Sorry. So we're also seeing, at the same time, we're seeing disclosure. And this disclosure that we're seeing and that we're starting to, I don't want to say we're starting to see, but we're seeing breakthroughs too in science, breakthroughs of battery technology. In fact, there was a release today that there's been a breakthrough in lithium battery technology that allows batteries to last like 2 years. I mean, this is not a coincidence. This disclosure is coming out right now. And, you know, there's a lot of people talking about it. And I think part of that is being driven by a number of different groups to drive the needle forward. While all that's going on, the conversation about Greenland and about Canada becoming a 51st state shows the intensity of the conflict between the EU and the US is starting to heat up. And Canada's new prime minister is talking about joining the EU. I think that was always by design. At least that's how the narratives look like, because he immediately gets sworn in and then he goes to Europe and pays homage to Europe, and all of a sudden they're going to be joining the EU. Look, if you're Canadian and you're listening to me right now, that's the worst thing you can do. You're better off joining the US, if that's the way it's going to go, than joining the EU, because the EU is basically the USSR right now. And the propaganda, especially in the UK, has been spun up to an unbelievable level. They're literally posting, posters all over and billboards all over the UK with Trump and JD Vance dressed up like Nazis. Like, are you serious? Who's buying that? But again, it's continuing to go on and on and on. And we're only going to see a ramp up of these narratives as things start to deteriorate. Really, what we're seeing is, and that's not even the Tesla stuff, right? There's a whole host of things going on related to Tesla that I thought was, I was astounded by it. But then I take a step back and I realize, okay, no, that's not the truth. I'm not astounded by it. It's more comedy at this point. And, you know, I'm listening to the different rhetoric coming out of the White House. And wow. Yeah, I'm going to post the Concerned Citizen posted this. So let me post this in the chat. This is literally on the streets of the UK. Now, I don't know how much of this is actually in the public consciousness or not, but it's a pretty significant shift in the propaganda, especially over there. And they must think that they can buy into it, because it's, Bill Gates, that's funny. Okay, so that'll give you an idea of the propaganda that's playing out across Europe. I don't know if it's playing to the public or not. I don't know how much the public buys into it. But it's very interesting that the people I'm talking to that are in Europe and the UK, a lot of them are buying into this. A lot of them, some of them have this view of, yeah, we go through this every couple hundred years, not a big deal, things will level out. Then there's a crowd over here that says Orange Man's bad. And then somewhere in the center is folks that think that, you know, what's going on with Doge and everything else is legitimate and it's the right thing to do, et cetera. So you have a full spectrum. I don't know where the public, the majority of the public is in that spectrum. And that's what matters going forward, right? Is where's the public at on the propaganda spectrum? What do they believe in? I can tell you here that most Americans are starting to lose faith in Trump and in the people he's picked. Regardless, and they're playing the whole, oh, this is the most transparent regime in history. Yeah, nobody's buying that. Again, because they screwed up the Epstein files, there's no story for them to tell that people are going to buy into. That's the problem with the US and Europe right now. There's no source of truth. Not even social media is a source of truth in a lot of instances. It's just people pulling stuff out of their backside saying, this is real. This is real. Like there was a post today. Who was it? Let me look through my notes here. He's a meteorologist. And Ben Davidson reposted him and said, yeah, I agree with this guy. And I was, first of all, I'm a pilot. So I felt like posting to this guy. So you're a pilot. Yeah, Chris Martz. I mean, besides being a condescending asshole in the post, and I'll just post this post out there so you guys can see it. Because this is part of the problem. Right? He's a meteorologist, and meteorologists in and of themselves are pain in the ass for most point. I'll let you guys read that on your own. But suffice it to say that I was like, yeah, whatever, dude. He's talking about chemtrails. And he's talking about the fact that chemtrails are a natural phenomenon because there's more jets in the atmosphere, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm going to call bullshit on that. And I'll tell you why I'm calling bullshit on that. First of all, every time I walk outside, my sinuses go nuts, especially when there's a lot of air traffic over us. And there's air traffic over us every single day. The same amount of air traffic over us every single day. But some days, there's more chemtrails than others. And some days there's none at all. So that whole argument is BS, because I can tell you that the way I feel when I go outside varies based on the amount of spraying they've been doing. And they've openly admitted that they're doing climate enhancement, climate engineering, whatever you want to call it. They openly admit they're doing it. So that kind of stuff is not helpful. And don't quote science to me, because science is a joke, along with surveys and mainstream. It's a joke. All of it is. So at the end of the day, social media doesn't help either, because social media is full of conjecture and BS as well. So what the world needs is a source of truth that's impeccable. Not compromised by the intelligence agencies, not controlled by an oligarch, but a source of truth. The only source of truth that I know that's filled with people that have a sense of duty to report the truth is the Washington Pundit and Revolver.News. Those are the only two I know of that are actually doing real journalism. And I can tell you that Dr. Isi has done, and Adam Carter have done yeoman's work to verify their sources before they put anything out. And we need more sources of truth that people could go to and find real data, real information, real facts that are backed up by sources that are real. And until that happens, it's going to be a bumpy road. And I think that will happen organically, especially over the next several months. If this disclosure piece keeps up, then I think you're going to see some other technologies released that will change the population, change the planet in ways I don't think the elite can fully grasp right now. And I say that for two reasons. I grew up when computers first came to town. Like my first computer was an 8086 computer, an IBM 8086 computer with 5.5-inch floppies. That was the first computer I ever had. And I think it was maybe 15 megahertz, maybe. And, you know, it had maybe a 1 gig hard drive. No, a 10 meg hard drive. I mean, just totally different game. And when I went through college, by the time I got to college, there was the first Apple Macs out there, the Mac 1s, Mac 2s. And that's what I used through college. So I saw the revolution in computers. And I saw what it did from the time when we had rotary phones until I got out of college, got in the military, even what it did in the military. I mean, just having the ability to sit down and program and write programs that would just track the trajectory of ICBMs over the pole with the magnetic interference, just being able to do that on a computer was life-changing. Along with the fact that it was life-changing that you could manage your whole life on, you know, these big, huge, you know, personal assistants, these PDAs, personal digital assistants. I mean, those were running around forever. And it was just basically a phone book with notes and a few other things. It wasn't really high speed, but it changed the way people operate, right? You weren't carrying this backpack or this briefcase with all a bunch of papers in it. You were carrying basically the first thing you carried, the first laptops were these monsters. They were like, you know, 50-pound bricks that you dropped. It's got like 3-inch screen. Those were the first laptops. But I watched society change drastically. And the real shift happened with cell phones. And what's interesting about the cell phone industry is, first of all, it's a radio, right? So it was an analog radio at first that was married to a digital piece of software. And it overnight revolutionized the way people traveled and moved and communicated. And so you got away from people, you know, parking in front of a phone and using payphones, and literally almost within 5 years, payphones just went away. You could still find them out there, but the plain old phone system that Ma Bell put together completely changed the landscape. And at the same time, the competition in the cellular markets, there was 10 cellular companies. In fact, one of the first companies that I worked for was AT&T Wireless, and then I worked for Motorola. And both of those organizations were changing drastically when I got there. And I think it's very, very interesting where we are right now, because we're on that cusp of another major shift into another major technology and innovation and revolution. And I don't think the elites have everything buttoned down the way they think. And like most technology, right? We learn this in the desert. The hard part in the desert when you're trying to do an information operations campaign is you have to understand how the public communicates and what their communication styles are and what their value system is when they're communicating. You have to understand all those things if you want to influence the population. You can't just go in with a standard recipe in the West and say, you know, these are the things we're doing for the country. We're not conquerors. We're not liberate. We're liberators, et cetera, right? They didn't buy that. They wanted to know, did we value their culture? Do we value them as people? Did we value them as a culture, right? It took us 3 years to get our heads around that. Even with some of the smartest minds in DOD working on it, it took a lot of smart people to figure that out. And the first 3 years were really, really rough. I could tell you in 04 and 05, that was a rough place because we didn't know how to communicate with the population. And when we finally did figure it out, we finally did figure out what the things that the culture valued, we were able to influence the population, right? So we learned a lot from doing that experience. We learned a lot about how to communicate. But the thing that we figured out very, very quickly was that no matter how much we tried to influence, no matter how much we tried to restrict communications to drive them into specific communications, they would find other ways to communicate. They would find other ways to get information in and out of the country. They would find other ways to communicate around us that we couldn't intercept. So no matter how much the elite think they're going to try and control everything and they're going to try and put us all in a kill box, it's not going to happen. Because the one thing that I do know about Americans is that we are very ingenious when it comes to coming at thinking about different ways to go around things, especially go around the law, go around the feds. There's a lot of smart people that will figure that out. And it won't be, and this was the other thing that we learned, it won't be this massively high-tech solution that drives people away from the mainstream system. It will be very simple things like notes or symbols on a wall somewhere. You would be surprised how many different ingenious ways the Iraqis figured out how to communicate completely around us. We were oblivious to. And it took us years to figure out how they were doing it. And one of the ways that a lot of terror cells do it is they would share a Gmail account. So they go into a Google account, they would share the account, they'd all log in, they draft a message, next guy would come in, delete the message, draft a message, the first guy would come back, read the message, delete the message, draft the message. So they were constantly cycling through messages. So we would literally have to monitor those 24/7 to see where the changes happen. Because there's no changes recorded, right? It's a local memory. So they came up with some very ingenious ways to communicate. I see the American public doing exactly the same thing when most of them wake up to what the elite are trying to do. And Whitney Webb posted this long, long, long article about the control web that the elite are trying to put in place right now. And I'll see if I can put it in the chat. I mean, I didn't get through all of it. Yeah, the dark mega government technocrats. And one thing I like about Whitney Webb is she's well-researched. She doesn't post things unless she's got research. Let me post that in the chat too. Another one for you to read. But everybody's got an opinion on how this is going to play out. I think we're going to see three things. I think we are going to see some kind of an attack here. It's going to be blamed on terrorists. I think we're going to see some kind of a civil uprising here in the U.S. and in Europe. And I think the U.K. will probably fall into revolution, definitely Ireland. And I'll get to, I think it was McGregor was his name that was in the White House. I can't think of his name. Somebody in the audience. Who was the MMA fighter that was in the White House this week? Irish guy. I can't think of his name. Anyway, we'll see revolutions and several countries drop into revolution. And then finally, we'll see kinetic here on the U.S. soil at some point. How widespread it, Conor McGregor. Thank you. I tell you, I'm old as fuck. That's why. Can't remember anything. I'll get to him in a second because that's significant too. But all of this revolves around the fact that we're seeing societies crumble and we're seeing an old control grid crumble. The conversation around the blackmail operations and Epstein really centers around the fact that they don't need to do blackmail operations anymore. They have other mechanisms to control people and other ways to do that without running this massive network of compromised people. They can compromise you in other ways, especially with technology now. So they don't have to do the same blackmail ops. That's why Epstein was expendable. And there was pictures posted either yesterday or today of Epstein's autopsy where they showed his dead body and where he strangled himself. And I think it was posted in my Telegram channel if you're really that interested in it. But that said, we're seeing a shift in the paradigm. We're seeing a shift in the control grid. And we're seeing a shift away from the legacy control mechanisms, which is why we're seeing Democratic Party fall apart. The elite here in the U.S., you know, infighting between the U.S. elite, infighting the European elite, infighting between the U.S. and Europe. That's why we're seeing that. We're seeing the collapse of society. And that collapse will accelerate over time. How long it takes, who knows? Could be this year, could be 2030, who knows? They're still going to push their agenda. They're still pushing the 2030 agenda. They're still trying to push the control grid they want in place. They're still doing things to harm humans. The FDA approved just before Kennedy came into office. They just approved mRNA vaccines for livestock, and they're pushing that. And I know there's livestock companies that are all in for mRNA. So that we're going to see a continuation of that. I don't have any faith at this point that RFK is going to make any difference, because if he was going to make a difference, he would have done it in the first week. And he would have banned mRNA vaccines in the first week until they were proven safe by real studies. And he hasn't done that. So that tells me that he's not going to do anything. He's controlled by pharma. And just like it shows me this attack in Yemen on the Houthis, and then the resumption of hostilities in Gaza tells me that Trump's all in for Israel. And if you watched his convention, you will see that it was make Israel great again. So I don't have any hope there that it's going to be anything other than help Israel. I don't know about the rest of you, but I didn't sign up for any of that. I didn't sign up to attack the Houthis. I didn't sign up to attack Iran. I definitely didn't sign up to send more money over to Israel and more weapons. Sorry. Yeah, they're a partner, but They're not our strategic ally. If they were our strategic ally, they would have ceased fire in Gaza. They would have made a peace deal and they would have abided by it. This nonsense that they uncovered plans, that there was another October 7th style attack in the works is nonsense. Those people are demoralized and starving. They were not planning another attack with gliders out of Gaza. Give me a break. So the whole Israel narrative, and you, if you want to call me an anti-Semite, go for it. Guilty as charged, because I'm tired of the whole Israel victimization narrative. I'm tired of it. Most Americans are tired of it. Enough already. We get it, right? Trump's owned by Israel. We get it. He's a Zionist. We get it. I think most Americans are starting to come to that realization. And look, this isn't a Jewish thing. That's a construct. That's a construct of the guys like Netanyahu, which isn't even his real name. And they've created this construct that they're Jews and they care about the Jewish people. I want to know, in the Israeli VAERS system, I want to know how many people were adversely affected by the vaccines. How many people were killed by the vaccines? Because they're the most vaccinated country on the entire planet. So who and how many were injured and killed by the vaccine? That's what I want to know, because we're not seeing that, right? And how many of you know that last weekend there was fires in Oklahoma and I think 4 people died? How many people knew that? No press coverage whatsoever. And there was significantly high winds. I think they were trying to start yet another wildfire through, you know, geoengineering. But chemtrails are a myth. It's just contrails. Yeah. Anyway, you see all these narratives colliding. You see us reaching a culmination point. We're watching the death of an old system is what we're watching. We're right in the center of it. So my advice to everybody tonight, before I wrap this up, is don't take anything for granted. Pay attention to your surroundings. And if it doesn't feel right, it's not right. Trust your gut, because your gut instinct is spirit trying to help you out. And trust me, I've listened to my gut several times and it saved my life. And you can go back and forth. And Sharita's done a good job talking about. So we're in a Mercury and we're in a Mars retrograde right now. I think that's what it is. But she's done a good job putting together. She's posted the links into my Telegram channel per my request. Look, I'm going to put this out again just so everybody understands where I'm at with this. Our enemy uses numerology and astrology to plan their events according to the satanic side of that. The other side of that is there is definitely something to it, especially the numerology, astrology side for the average Joe that tells you about your personality profile, et cetera. And I don't understand most of it. It just, that's not something that resonates with me, right? You can chip it down all you want, but I can't tell you how the enemy uses it. I'm pushing this out to the audience because I want people, somebody out there understands this better than I do. And somebody out there could break the code on how they're planning events. How specifically do they choose an event and a place based on the numerology and astrology they use to attack us? Once we figure that out, then guess what? We got them. We can disrupt all of their operations. But somebody that gets that has to figure it out. Like the code breakers of World War II. That's the code we have to break. That's the JN25 codes in World War II that we have to figure out that our enemy uses. And trust me, I've taken a mountain of flack over this from all the Christian zealots that are like, it's super, they're just superstitious. Like, fuck enough already. This is what the enemy uses. We have to understand this. Doesn't mean we believe it. It just means we have to understand how they use it to plan. I don't know what part of that is so ambiguous for Christians to figure out. You've been taught your whole life that this shit's satanic. It's a fucking lie. Most of the world, most of the rest of the planet believes in numerology and astrology, and they use it. Why is it such a stretch for Christians to pull their heads out far enough to realize it might be something that we need to understand to go after the enemy. You know, the one that keeps attacking us. And we're always surprised. I mean, come on. Just a mountain of flack over it. It's like enough already. I get it. You don't believe it, don't study it. But there's other people that can and will. Those are the people that I want to talk to. The rest of you, go pray. My God. But keep an open mind. Because if our enemy uses this, they're always going to be ahead of us if we don't understand it. And I've said this before, and it's worth repeating. When you start doing intelligence preparation of the battlefield, the first thing you have to understand is what is the array of forces that you're facing? What's the disposition? What's the location? How are they equipped? What's the unit size? How many units are you facing? Do they have fixed positions? Do they have soft positions? Are they maneuvering or are they stationary? You have to understand all of those things. And you may not understand the culture of the enemy, but you have to understand their tactics. You have to understand the way that their plan is going to unfold in front of you so you can defend against it. And we spend an inordinate amount of time studying our enemies. And, you know, Conrad was an armor officer, and he planned defensive maneuvers and defensive planning for the entire Fulda Gap, which is where we expected the big Soviet army to come through. We planned for it for decades, absolutely for decades. We knew every nuance of a Soviet armored formation. We knew every nuance of how the Soviets, not Russians, not then Russians, the Soviet Union, at that time, we knew exactly how they would array their air forces, how they would deploy their air forces. And we're watching it unfold right now in Ukraine. The only variable that's changed is the drone war. That drone war has completely changed the face, and it's been a revolution in military affairs. Absolute revolution, because it's completely changed the face of the battlefield. These old static armor formations no longer as effective as people think they are. Air formations no longer as effective. But the one thing that we can still do, or at least I think we can still do, that the Russians, the Chinese, and a lot of our adversaries could never do, was maneuver warfare. And we've seen that play out time and time again in Ukraine. They can't do maneuver warfare. But you don't do maneuver warfare without a solid intelligence preparation of the battlefield. If you don't know where the obstacles are, the minefields are, how the enemy's arrayed, and how they're going to deploy their forces and use their forces against you, guess what? You die in place just like everybody else. And we have to understand how the elite operate. We don't. I can tell you that unequivocally, that we don't understand how they operate. I don't see one talking head out there that's talking about how the enemy operates. What I see is a lot of talking heads talking about what the enemy's done, what the enemy continues to do, how the enemy lies to us. But nobody's talking about how the enemy plans, how they attack, and why they attack, and what they use all of those different tools at their disposal to plan against. None of us understand that. And until we do, the enemy will always have the upper hand. And that's why I've been doggedly on this for the last 2 years, because no one's talking about it. Whitney Webb's talking about all the things they've done, all the players, all the linkages, all of the incestuous relationships they've created over the last 50 years, but nobody's talking about how the enemy is arrayed, deployed, and how they're fighting against us. Nobody's talking about that. And definitely no one's talking about how the enemy plans. Until we get to that, we're going to continue to get our asses handed to us. And that's what I'm trying to pivot everybody towards. And that's the thing that everybody needs to pay attention to. Whether you believe it or not, whole different story. But you need to understand it, because they're not going to change the way they operate. They've been so successful at it for so long. Why change the way they operate? Every narrative they feed us, they tell us and predictively program us, and then they do it to us. And then they literally sit there and say, I told you so. What are you going to do about it? How many times have they done that to us in the last 8 years? Just since Trump came into office. Hey, we're going to do this. Told you so. What are you going to do about it? That's literally their MO. And they've been doing it over and over and over again. The other way I think it's going to change is if somebody actually gets perp walked. But I think the system's so compromised, we won't see any big names come perp walked. And because of that, that's why I think we're ultimately headed towards some kind of a revolution, because the American people get more and more fed up. And there's going to be a point where we cross the line, because here's what everybody's tired of. Everybody's tired of just being that close, just that close. If we just go that much farther, we'll cross over the line. But they always keep it just below the line. They never take it over the line. How long do you think this has been going on? They've been doing this to us for decades. This dance, this delay tactic, this slow burn, they've been doing it to us for decades. The only way that we're going to get over the hump, one, is to beat them at their own game. Two, to understand how they plan. And three, to drive them to do something stupid that exposes all of it. It's the only way we're going to get out of this. And I'm not waiting for aliens to land. I'm not waiting for alien disclosure. I'm not even waiting for any of that. That's all nonsense. What I'm waiting for is for, and somebody actually said it. I don't remember who it was. Was it Glenn Beck or was it Steve Bannon? I don't remember who it was, but one of them said, where are the tapes? Why haven't we seen the tapes? Show us the tapes. We know Epstein had tapes. We know the FBI has tapes. Where's the tapes? Show us the tapes. That's where it is. And like I said before, you want to galvanize the planet? You want to show people what's really been going on? Here's what you do. You drop two or three of those tapes, and they're all unedited glory. And you drop them into a source of truth, and they get played 48, 72 hours continuously. Guess what? The entire world will want to hunt these people down. And that's what they are deathly afraid of, is a world uniting when they realize just how badly you've been lied to. And today, this lady, I gotta post this, because this lady's rant is epic. I think this lady, she definitely represents a good bulk of the American public right now. And I suggest you listen to that with a moderate volume, but I guarantee you she's expressing everything that most Americans are thinking right now. And you notice how Trump's been in office for how many months now? Almost 2 months. There's no discussion of Maui. There's no discussion of North Carolina. There's no discussion of California. There was an aid package. But don't you think that if Trump was serious about transparency, we would know how many people died in Maui? How many children died in Maui? Where did they go? You notice how we don't see any families from any of those locations. Have you seen any families on TV or in social media other than Ann Vandersteel and a few other people that are actually going down there on site that have talked about what's really going on? Very few. I would think in the American consciousness right now, we would be demanding that we know what happened in Maui. What's the ground truth? What's the ground truth of North Carolina? And what's the ground truth of California? Who, what, where, when, why, and how many? We don't hear any of that. Crickets. So all of this distraction is just that. It's distraction. The thing we need to keep an eye on is, number one, we don't want to go to war with Iran. We're not going to fight another war for Israel. And we definitively don't need to be in the Middle East. Full stop. We don't need to be there. That's what I'm paying attention to. And I'm keeping my head on a swivel, as most of you should too, because I think something is coming. I don't know what that is. But if I listen to Sarah Adams over here, she's talking about attacks on hospitals and terror cells that are still here. I know they're still here because we've only deported 8,000 people. And then over here, you've got the fires, the earthquakes, the natural disasters, et cetera. So we've got that going on. So it could be anywhere in the middle. Who knows? But I think what we're going to see first is economic. And when that economic happens, it's going to shock a lot of people. And that economic looks like banks that just stop working. Internet stops working. Cell phones stop working. And it could be a cyber attack that brings it down. could be the dollar crashes, who knows? But all this posturing going on between the US and Europe, I don't know how much of it's real, how much of it's artificial, or how much of it is actually just a dick waving contest between all of the elite on both sides of the pond. Either way, it's a mess. And the other piece of it, and Eddie, thanks for the donation. Appreciate that. Thoughts on Kursk? I'll answer that question. I think Kursk was a rout, but I think both the Russians and the Ukrainians have lost a significant number of troops to take that real estate back. I hope Trump is successful and that Putin allows for the exfiltration or capture of those 10,000 troops so that we don't see any more Ukrainian lives lost. And I hope that this ceasefire that he negotiated today, now remember, the ceasefire he negotiated today was just critical infrastructure attacks. It wasn't a complete ceasefire. It's to stop hitting critical infrastructure. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like come tomorrow, because Zelensky didn't get a vote in that. But you know that the city of London, MI6, and the rest of the European elites are going to get a vote. They're going to do something stupid. So what my sincere hope is, though, for the troops that are trapped at Kursk, is that the Russians let them E&E out, or they capture as many as they can and repatriate them home at the other side of this. We don't need to see any more death. And trust me, I was around for the highway of death in Iraq, and that was senseless. We drove the Iraqi army to leave Kuwait. We knew where they were exfiltrating, and Bush gave the kill order. And that was not an order that was designed to take away their ability to fight. They were looting the country. That was him, you know, exacting payback. None of that was necessary. We could have done without all of that and still wrapped up the war 4 days later. But that was 10,000 people. That's senseless. I hope that that's not the case. And I think there's about 10,000 that were circled in Kursk. I don't know what the answer is today or where that's at today, but I sincerely hope that those troops are allowed to get out of there peacefully. Drop your weapons, walk home, and just let them go. But Putin doesn't have any incentive to do that. I mean, remember, he's been fighting this losing Russians too, so he doesn't have any incentive to do it. And the fact that he made Trump wait today, almost, I think it was like 2 hours he made Trump wait. That is a strong sign that he is not in has no desire to negotiate a ceasefire. He wants his objectives met, or there's no deal. Do you blame him? If you routed 10,000 troops, which you know the enemy can't replace, would you want to let them go peacefully? No. You'd want to decimate them or capture them to take them off the battlefield. And a 30-day pause, which was what was offered, would just give the Ukrainians time to reconstitute, resupply, and build defensive positions. That's all it would do. So the new rumble is called The Path Forward, starting in May. And the intro has already been done. In fact, I think I could, if you guys want, I can show you the intro to it. If you're interested, let me know in the chat. I could do that before I sign off here. But Kursk is going to be a very, very telling part of the next 2 months of that conflict. And I would hope that Putin continues the same amount of restraint that he's shown since day one. That's my hope. Well, we'll see. That's going to be a tell, though. And that's a tell on Trump's ability to negotiate deals as well. Because the Europeans get a choice too. Okay, let me load the video file and I'll wrap up with that. Let's see here. Let's see, no, it's down here. There we go. I think that one's too big. Let's see what this one is. And that was this one, Lord. Okay. Well, there you have it. There is the, I don't know why the video is all screwed up now, but there we go. So there's the new intro. Show starts in May. I want to shout out and a big thank you to Vasilius for putting that together for me, brother. I appreciate all the support on that. I appreciate you put it in the hours to put that together and dealing with my neurosis around it. And I can't say thank you enough, man. He's been such a huge help. And, you know, shout out to my admins on Telegram. You know, we've gone through, and let me just put this out to everybody. In January, I pulled back mainly because I had family issues going. I still have family issues going on, things that I can't step away from. And some of them are consuming my time. That's why I've adjusted the show and stepped back from the show. And it should tell you, too, that I've stepped back from doing appearances on other shows. Now, I am going to be on Coffee and a Mic this week with Tom Luongo. I'm going to be on Crypto Rich's show on the 21st, which is Friday. Those two I'm doing mainly because Rich is a former, well, he is again. What do they call him? Anyway, he works with kids, and he's very knowledgeable of the child trafficking and the child abuse, et cetera, that's been taking place in Europe. So he and I have a lot of things to talk about, and I'll probably do another show with Ian Burlingame and with Bracken and with Michael Yon. And by the way, Michael Yon was on, Alex Jones yesterday. If you haven't watched that interview, you should. He's in the thick of it down the Darien Gap and in Panama. And he thinks that we're going to go hot in Panama and do an actual invasion of the Pan and take the Panama Canal, which we should, absolutely. And we're going to reclaim that territory and kick the Chinese out, which we should. And so it's very, very, it's a very good interview to watch. And he's on, I think supposed to be out for like 20 minutes, and he was off for an hour and a half. But I should tell you how dialed in he is. And look, Michael Yon's a personal friend of mine, and I can tell you that he's a fantastic guy. So if you get a chance, take a look at that. But I've stepped back from a lot of it to focus on family stuff. And, you know, I said initially that I wouldn't be going into another venue if things happened peacefully, but guess what? Things haven't transitioned the way we expected. So here I am. So stay tuned to stay tuned, stand by to stand by. And in May, we'll start we'll move to a different channel, and we'll have multiple shows on that channel. And I'll be back probably on Thursday night with a sit rep. I'm not sure we're going to be able to do a round table this week. I think two of the guys are traveling. we'll see if I can round up enough guys to do a roundtable. We'll do a roundtable, and I'm sure by Thursday there will be enough to talk about. Until then, God bless everyone. One team, one fight.